the 2014 Lou Marsh Award winner for the Canadian Athlete of the Year. She is the first ever winner out of the bobsleigh. Kaylee Humphreys joins us. Kaylee, congratulations. How are you?
Well, thank you very much. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Things just keep getting better for you. Two-time Olympian winner, gold medal, two-time world champion, and now the Lou Marsh Award. And I guess it's different because when you win in bobsleigh, you're competing against bobsleigh. Here, you're competing against every athlete in Canada.
I know. It is. It's a little bit overwhelming, actually, but it's great. This year, I mean, who knew that winning the Olympics and defending was just going to be the beginning of it? I feel like that, I assumed it was going to be the pinnacle. And since then, of course, being able to compete with the men's format and the FIDT, allowing it to be gender neutral, I mean, that was another thing, another goal that I've been asking for years and years that they finally said yes for. And, you know, to have that opportunity become available. And on top of that, with the Lou Marsh winning in 2014, I mean, list of other competitors and other athletes that were nominated is astounding, and I honestly did not think that I was going to be the winner, but this is just capped off, you know, an incredibly great year.
You and Elena Myers were the first women to pilot a mixed gender team in that international four-man competition. Just talk about that and why it was so important to you, and, you know, maybe how different it was from regular bobsleigh for you.
Yeah, well, four-man is something that, I mean, I've been driving now for 9 years, and the guys always had both competitions, two and four. Women have only had two. It's still fairly new. I mean, the first Olympics women's bobsleigh was in was 2002, and so the federation just, I guess, doesn't feel that, you know, we're quite at the same level. But I disagreed, and I know Alana disagreed as well, so we've been lobbying for a couple years now to get that changed, and finally this year they said yes. For me, you know, after winning in 2014 at the Games, you got to always come up with something bigger and better and grander. You know, this next four-year cycle, you know, how do you top defending for a second time? And I knew I needed a challenge. And driving format is something that, you know, it's a huge challenge for me. It is different. The sled is longer. It does weigh twice as much. And I know I'm responsible for three guys behind me. Speeds are greater. The G-forces, the pressure are greater. How you drive it is the exact same, and where you steer is the exact same. But, you know, I would compare it to driving a truck versus a two-man car. It does feel very different. And so I have to get used to that. I have to get used to driving from two-man to four-man and, you know, going back and forth. So it was important to both Alana and I just to, you know, break down barriers, not just for ourselves, but also for the sport of bobsleigh. You know, to try and get women's format in there. That's the goal, hopefully, within the next 4 years, is for us to have our own event. In the meantime, though, we're able to compete with events, so we both have teams of three other guys with us, so we're not alone in that, and we'll see how we do.
Kaylee Humphreys, the Canadian Athlete of the Year, the Lou Marsh Award winner for 2014. Now, Kaylee, you mentioned the difference, because I'm sure most of us, like, if you watch hockey, we're like, okay, I might have played. Even at the lowest level, we kind of understand the concept of hockey. I watch bobsleigh. I've never been in a bobsleigh. I would love to do it, but I'm like, how the hell do you steer? So can you explain to us, you know, what's the process of steering the bobsleigh and what you feel is your strength as a driver?
Yes. Steering a bobsleigh, so there's two ropes on the inside, and essentially they're connected to a metal D-ring. You pull the left one, and both of the runners, which are the steel blades that the sled goes down on, both of those will turn to the left or to the right. I only have control of the front two. There's four that the sled sits on top of. The back two are pretty stationary, don't really move. So as a pilot, I'll pull left and or pull right, and the runners will go left or right. It's fairly simple. There is no steering wheel whatsoever. In a corner, I have to look. Each track is different. The length of it, the number of corners, and what happens in those corners, whether there's one pressure, two pressures, at the beginning, at the end, I have to know exactly where I need to be on every inch of that track in order to accelerate the sled as fast as possible. Technically, every single steer that I do will only slow it down. The only time the sled will get faster is at the start. And us as humans are the engine, in essence. And so we push the first 50 meters, we jump in, And then after that, it's up to the pilot to steer and navigate the fastest way possible to get you to the bottom. Well, roughly, a track is about a mile long. And, you know, aerodynamics play a big part. Weight plays a big part into that. There is a maximum that the sledded people could be, two men as well as a four men, and you want to be as close to that as possible, ideally with the people making up that weight so that you have more momentum at the beginning and you're not pushing something as heavy.
Now, obviously, the I know we've seen a lot of track athletes and football players go into the men's. You know, you need sprinters. You need a lot of power out of the start gate. But as the driver on the four, well, what's your training regime? Like, do you do a lot of upper body stuff as much as you do legs? So when you're in there driving, like, do you got to have extremely strong forearms? What's your other kind of training regimes that allows you to be such a successful driver?
Yeah, it's actually very finite. The driving that we do is very, very touchy. It's okay. Very feely. I will do, if anything, I don't do upper body from the season because I want muscle memory to understand. I want my body to feel. I feel not only with my hands. I go with what I see in my sight. Sometimes things come at you too fast that you can't solely rely on sight, though. And so you have to go with feel through your whole entire body. And you end up kind of feeling it through your butt on the sled as well, but through your hands and through your body as the sled comes around. And you kind of have to be one with the sled itself. And so the driving itself, though, is literally a matter of centimeters to inches. If you've got to steer a couple inches, that's a pretty big steer. And so it's fairly finite. And overall, yeah, athletes, I mean, there is no rhyme or reason. We've had a lot of different athletes. I came from a ski racing background. We've had a lot of football players, rugby, softball, soccer, track and field is a big one, generally for the speed. But anybody that is explosive, that's the biggest thing. You want fast, but you want to be able to move weight fast. So you can be extremely fast, but stick a sled in front of you that weighs, you know, 200 kilos and it doesn't really go anywhere. You could be super strong, you'll move weight, but you can't be fast with it. So it's a combo of a lot of things, and we kind of somehow we seem to get a mishmash. And, you know, anybody can honestly do it. It's about getting people out and trying it.
Kaylee Humphreys joins us. So I know in Calgary they have it where you can try on certain tracks, obviously at the very immediate, I guess, beginner level, because most people would probably take two turns in yours and be on the side very quickly. Now, you talked about your skiing career. You were clearly a little bit of a daredevil. You broke both legs in separate crashes before you retired from skiing. How long after that was it where you decided to go into bobsleigh? And why was bobsleigh attractive to you?
Bobsleigh, of course, just being, I'm born and raised in Calgary, so I had seen the track there. I'd seen the athletes train in the gym there. I knew of the sport, of course. I watched school runnings growing up, but it also, you know, it was a sport that I knew an athlete could be stronger at. And for me, myself, I always had bigger legs than most girls, and I was a fairly strong athlete. And so coming from skiing, I love skiing. That's what I wanted to go to the Olympics for. That's what I started when I was 9 years old. Skiing was my world. But, yeah, after a few crashes, I didn't have that fearlessness. I didn't have that willingness to just let it go. I would hold back. And inevitably, you know, I just, my racing career, I was never going to be the best. I was never going to make the national team or go to the Olympics. And that was always my goal. And so I knew if I wanted to continue with sport and make it to an Olympics, I had to pick a different one. And it was going to be between bobsleigh or speed skating, both of which seemed really interesting to me. And bobsleigh was just the first one I tried. I looked up the info online and went out to what they call a talent ID camp, just a camp that Bobsleigh Canada holds a couple of times every year, and just went out and tried it. Thought I could be good, and all of this has come about because of it, I guess, just destined to be.
Well, it was definitely a good decision for you. Now, you mentioned in skiing you didn't let it all out. In bobsleigh, do you have to be more reserved, or do you have to let it all out to be successful?
You don't really have a choice.
Yeah.
Once you start pushing and you jump in that sled, the brakes don't get pulled at any point until you cross that finish line. So it's all or nothing, and your head's down. Whether you could drive a sled or not, that's pretty hit or miss. You either have it or you don't. And whether you could be a good driver or not, depending on if you can look far enough ahead and you have that feeling in your body, it's one of those things that, you know, you'll crash every run or you'll be able to take the fast one and make it down. And I think that's where in bobsleigh I'm able to be successful because I can't hold back. My body won't let me this month go and there's nothing I can do. I just got to make the best of it. And so, you know, because of that, the sport kind of forces me to, you know, to let it go. And that's where and how it works.
Now, I know your husband, Dan, of course, he retired from bobsleigh, but he's a former. Do you guys, like, go out for fun and race one another or compete together at all for fun?
Well, ex-husband, no. We have been divorced for a couple years, though. But
oh, my bad.
We never actually went out. He always used to joke, and there was no way he was ever going to get in the sled with me. So pretty sure I would not be the first phone call he would want to hear from now that we get to do four men. But we always joke in the car would be a better driver, and I always won because I'm a driver, and he was always a brakeman. But yeah, at the end of the day, sport was something that we bonded around, but unfortunately that served its time, and you know, we both found our separate ways since then.
Now, Kaylee, you mentioned you're doing the, you know, the mixed women and men in the four-man. When do you still do both? Like, can you focus on both at the same time, or when's the point going to be where you're like, okay, we're nearing the four-year cycle? Is it the final year leading up to the 2018 Olympics when you go solely on the women's two-man, or what's your plan on that?
No, my plan will be to compete in both for the next 4 years, okay. You know, culminating and ideally me being at the Olympics in 2018 in both two men as well as in four men. I don't plan on lightening up on either one. Definitely my focus over the next couple years will be a little bit more towards the four men just because, you know, this is year one. I got a lot of learning and a lot of catching up to do. I feel like it won't take me as long as with most people. I have been driving. I do understand and know everything about the sport. I've been a part of it for the last 9 years, so I feel like the learning curve and that's going to be fairly quick, but it will take a little bit away from two-man. Eventually, though, I feel like by year three, my four-man will feed into my two-man. I will have figured out a rhythm, how it works, have a great team of guys pushing behind me, and, you know, we're all going to, I will work very hard on making that unit one and making it possible where the two helps the four helps the two. And again, team dynamics of my team are going to be different. In both men's crews, it's all men. You know, women's crews, it's all women. I will have a combo of both. So it'll take a year or so for me to learn. But overall, over the next 4 years, I see having both crews at the Olympics and being very successful.
What's the rules in mixed gender? Do you have to have, is it only one woman? Does she have to be the driver? Or can a woman go anywhere? How does it work?
The rule basically states that in men's four men, it's gender neutral, so there is no specification.
Okay.
So the guys can still have full four-man crews of four males. There could be one female. There could be two females. There could be all females. There is no specification on gender whatsoever. And where, if you do have one, two, three, or four females, where those people sit makes no difference. So at any point, anybody within a four-man crew can be male or female.
Okay, and one last one for you, Kaylee. I really appreciate your time. The 2014 Lou Marsh Award winner for the top athlete in Canada. We've seen it. I saw the features, of course, on you. You know, you've got a huge liking of tattoos. Do you have a new one coming? And where's the motivation come from for you when you sit down to get one?
Motivation comes from it everywhere, just about. But my tattoos are very personal to me. They all mean something. So on my right arm, I have my family. I have my parents' faces and portraits of them. I have a guardian angel. I will be getting symbols for my sister. So all of that, that's going to be my next venture, is getting my sister's tattooed on. Family is very, very important to me. Outside of that, I have my goals, my hopes, my dreams, things that I have accomplished. I have the Vancouver medal. I will be getting the Sochi medal and the dates that I had won on that. I have a memorial tattoo for my grandparents and anybody that has passed on that's made a difference in my life. So things that I want to remember or be known by. And so all my tattoos are very, very personal to me. And as I continue to grow and learn and change, I'm sure, you know, I'll be getting a few more. Haven't run out of real estate quite yet. But I will never get something, you know, just for the heck of it. They all mean something, and they're all something I always want to remember or be known by.
How many do you have in total?
That's a hard question to answer. I've been asked that a few times. It's some of them are quite big.
One on your leg.
Like you can't really classify it as one. Like
okay.
My leg piece took about 42 hours. It was over a year and a half. So if you classify that as one, but I had about 9 sessions to complete it. So does that count as 9?
Oof.
You know, how does it work? But overall, they all kind of feed into each other. It's really kind of hard to say, but I got quite a few hours.
You must be a patient person. I'm doing the math. That's like 9 sessions of about 4.5 hours each. So good for you. I can't sit still for 2 minutes, so I don't think I would be good at that sort of thing. Kaylee, congratulations. You know, the first bobsleigher ever to be awarded, and I think that's great for your sport. And hopefully we see you with a three-peat. I'm pretty sure no woman's ever – well, you were the first to go back-to-back, so you'd definitely be the first to go back-to-back-to-back. Continued success.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and happy holidays.